Hello and welcome to Scorpio Studio for 2022-2023. My name is Eric Francis Coppolino, your astrologer for the next hour or so. Welcome to this reading. Welcome to a new solar year, or almost. That's the grown-up way of saying happy birthday. I have got a pretty good list of things that I want to cover astrologically, though I want to make sure that I convey the feeling of these transits as much as any technical ideas about them. I do aspire to do that. And also, let's begin with a thought about what an odd thing astrology is, which is that I have cast some charts here. I'm using three, really: the solar eclipse, the lunar eclipse, and Mars stationing retrograde in between the two. And then somehow I translate this into something that is supposed to be relevant, meaningful, and trustworthy for you. I personally think that's pretty funny. It's what I do with many of my days. But how that actually happens, I think, is an interesting thing to reflect on. And I was sitting at breakfast with the charts and my green paper thinking about this. And one of my fundamental theories of astrology is that it's all about the houses. This comes from the person who turned me on to astrology, a horoscope columnist named Patrick Walker. And what the idea that it's all about the houses means is that environments are the most important thing that we experience in life. Apart from our own physical existence, the thing that we are moving through, the thing that we're living in, that we're learning in and responding to and trying to change and influence in some way, are environments. So when I say the word house, what I really mean is people, places, activities, and what we do in terms of our motive when we're there. What's the thing that we want to create or change when we are in any environment? And that environment could be your home, it could be work, it could be the environment of a relationship, though every place has different relationships. So keeping that in mind, house means environment and what you are doing there. The other thing that can't be said enough, and every time I say it, I feel like I've thrown a penny in the pond, is another thing that involves environments, and that is the digital environment. Now, this is the life we lead. It can start to feel like we don't have any reality outside of the digital world. I think maybe if you're raising children or taking care of animals, taking care of plants, gardens, you'll have more of a sense of your own being outside of the digital environment. But nonetheless, the digital environment is acting on all of us. It is it is akin to living it at the bottom of the ocean. We don't realize, because it happened in such a gradual and steady way, how much our lives are completely subsumed by the digital environment. And I think that we correspondingly don't recognize how much we have been changed and how much our expectations and ideas of life and modes of living have changed because of this total exposure to and living completely within the digital environment that we do. It has changed us as people. It has shifted our whole concept of existence. It has shaped our whole way of relating to one another, our way of thinking, our way of speaking, our way of being. And it has introduced a global crisis that has entirely transformed us from, for example, here as relatively affluent Americans. Most of the people I'm speaking to attended university, for example, and can read and have access to some transportation. The overall crisis of civilization, of capitalism, and particularly the last 30 years or so of the digital tide rising, has changed us from people who largely lived for what we believe was possible to now living with being confronted by problems that are too big to solve. And I'm not so concerned about the problems. What I'm concerned about is being constantly confronted by this emotional kind of barrier between ourselves and the idea that the problems we face are solvable. I mean, real problems like oil running out and plastic and, you know, what we're going to do with all these people on the planet and whatever is causing the planet to dry up many places. And we might be able to do something about those things. But we have to live with a prevailing spiritual condition that we personally can have very little influence over this, any of this, and that there is something about a combination of humanity and the way the world is under its various forms of kind of corporate governance that is not allowing the solutions to happen. And so it is very easy to become despondent and hopeless when you really think about those problems. And so what we all have to do to a certain necessary real extent is to set them aside. And this setting aside can only hold off the despair for so long. And I'm curious and questioning of how we address this and still keep our sanity and what we can do to remain whole beings, you know, with access to our personal resources and capable of aspiring to doing things, changing things, feeling good, creating something with our lives. I mean, it's fairly easy to just take care of yourself, right? It's easy to just, if you didn't have anyone else you had involvements with, collaborations with, commitments to, you cared about in some, you know, meaningful way, it would be easy to just take care of yourself and do your thing and, you know, have enough of what you need. But it's when it, we realize we live within these webs of interrelationship that things become more complicated, and particularly when the webs of interrelationship are dominated by the digital environment, not, for example, working together and having a meal together because we grew some food, right? That's a very different thing than, you know, calling up for Grubhub and chatting with somebody.